Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Susan Shand and Anna Mateo. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, Russia is making final preparations for the 2018 World Cup. The Championship of International Football opens this Thursday and will continue until July 15th. Football, or European football, is known as soccer in the United States. At the start of World Cup action, Russia's national football team has the lowest rating of the 32 teams in the competition. FIFA, international football's governing body, released its monthly rankings of national teams last week. The Russians dropped to 70th place on FIFA's list, with Saudi Arabia in 67th place. Russia and Saudi Arabia are to play Thursday in Moscow. They are the two lowest-ranked teams at this year's World Cup. Defending World Cup champion Germany is the top-rated team. Germany won the 2014 World Cup by defeating Brazil, which has won the event five times. Brazil, Belgium, Portugal, and Argentina fill out the top five teams in the latest world rankings. Chile is the highest-ranked team not playing in the World Cup. It is number 9 on FIFA's list. The Netherlands, Wales, and Italy are three other teams among the top 20 that failed to win an invitation to Russia for the games. At number 15, Mexico is the top team from North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. Tunisia is considered Africa's best. It is in 21st place in the world ratings. The best Asian Confederation team is Australia, which is in 32nd place. There are a total of 64 football matches at the 2018 World Cup. The final match is set for Sunday, July 15th, at Moscow's Luzhniki Stadium.
Under a sky darkened by thick black smoke, hundreds of thousands of laborers across South Asia work at brick kilns. These men, women, and children perform difficult work in extreme heat. Conditions today are much like they were many centuries ago. Brick kilns produce heat for bricks, which are used to build homes, offices, and factories. Yet the kilns are among the most notorious sources of air pollution in South Asian countries. In 2015, a powerful earthquake struck Nepal. About 9,000 people were killed. The quake destroyed homes and many other things, including about 30% of the country's brick kilns. For environmentalists, the destruction gave them a chance to clean up at least one part of the dirty industry. The International Center for Integrated Mountain Development operates a program called the Brick Kiln Initiative. It found a way to design the brick kilns and build them differently so they produce less pollution. "We have changed three things," explained Bidya Banmali Pradhan, who directs programs for the initiative. "One is more resistance to earthquakes. The second is less polluting. And the third is energy efficiency." The Brick Kiln Initiative proposed placing bricks inside the kilns in a zigzag design. This way, the heat moves through the holes more efficiently so that the coal burns completely and produces less dirty air. "I adopted this to clean up the environment," kiln owner Raj Kumar Lakhimaru said. "I think this is now being adopted by others across the country." Pollution from kilns was cut by 60%. And, more importantly for the kiln owners, it reduced coal use by half. "Since we adopted this zigzag method, there is less pollution. We are using less coal and getting better bricks faster," said Mahendra Chitrakar, president of the Federation of Nepal Brick Industries. Most of the 100 brick kilns in the Kathmandu Valley have already been changed. The Federation of Nepal Brick Industries hopes to change all of the country's brick kilns in the next 2 to 3 years. Brickmakers from Bangladesh, India, Nepal, and Pakistan met in Kathmandu earlier this year to discuss the new design. I'm Susan Shand.
From VOA, Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. Ebola is back in Africa, this time in the Democratic Republic of Congo. On its website, the World Health Organization states that as of June 9th, at least 28 people have died in the DRC after they had contact with Ebola virus disease. This is out of 66 confirmed, probable, or suspected Ebola cases. Health workers in the DRC are working quickly to stop the virus from spreading. They are using a new vaccine to protect people. Wangoi Nondi says his body temperature rose after he cared for his brother, who died from Ebola. But Nandi is better now after receiving the Ebola vaccine. The vaccination campaign began in the middle of May in two countryside communities. But there is a limited supply of the vaccine. So healthcare workers were the first to be vaccinated. World Health Organization official Tarek Yosarabek told VOA that only people who have been in contact with an infected person get the vaccine. He said this helps to form a kind of ring around the patient.
This is not a general mass immunization as it is being done for some other diseases. We are looking into people who have been in contact with those who tested positive for Ebola and their contact. So we make a ring around the person who contracted the virus.
The vaccine they are using was developed a few years ago during the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. The experimental vaccine has proven to be safe and effective in human testing. Dr. Terit Mokopatheo is a vaccine expert with the University College London. He leads the Vaccine Development Working Group for the UK Vaccine Network. He explains how the vaccine works.
What it does, it teaches the immune system to recognize those Ebola proteins on the surface of this modified virus, and in doing so, create a protective response against that.
Scientists can only test the vaccine when there is an Ebola outbreak. Dr. Mokopatheo says he and other researchers have many questions.
What we're trying to do now is to establish how effective is this vaccine? Do you need one dose or two doses to be protective? And once you've been injected or vaccinated with this, how long does that protection last for as well?
Containing Ebola virus disease may be a problem in the DRC. The areas affected by this outbreak are close to heavily used waterways. It started in an area called Bikoro, and then moved to Mbandaka, a busy port along the Congo River. People use the river to bring produce to the country's capital, Kinshasa. Health workers say keeping Ebola out of heavily populated areas is critical to containing this outbreak. Another critical part of containing the outbreak is cooperation. Yosarabek said that to defeat an Ebola outbreak, the whole community needs to cooperate. The most important thing, he said, is that infected people receive treatment in a hospital where they can be separated from others or isolated. They must not remain at home.
It is only human that people who have their relatives in isolation units want them to be at home, to be with their family home in what could be the last moments of their life. But we need really to explain to everyone how disease is being transmitted. If person who is sick is in isolation unit, it not only increases the chance of survival for this patient, but it will also prevent the spread of the virus to the family.
WHO officials say Ebola virus disease first appeared in 1976. That is when medical experts confirmed cases in what is now South Sudan and the DRC. Scientists say they think the virus comes from wild animals. The disease can be transmitted from person to person through direct contact with the blood or other fluids from an infected person. For that reason, Ebola patients must be kept away from other people. The virus destroys cells that control blood pressure and then causes organ failure. Signs of the disease include high body temperature, vomiting, diarrhea, and bleeding. Once infected, patients have a very low chance of surviving. The worst Ebola outbreak in history took place between 2014 and 2016. It killed more than 11,000 people in West Africa. the WHO and international health experts have since been criticized for not doing a better job in fighting the disease. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The 1920s were a time of economic progress for most Americans. During the administrations of President Warren Harding and President Calvin Coolidge, many companies grew larger, creating new jobs. Wages for most Americans increased. Many people began to have enough money to buy new kinds of products. The strong economy also created the right environment for many important changes in the day-to-day social life of Americans. The 1920s are remembered now as an exciting time that historians call the Roaring Twenties. Kay Gallant and Harry Monroe tell more about that period.
The 1920s brought a feeling of freedom and independence to millions of Americans, especially young Americans. Young soldiers returned from the World War with new ideas. They had seen a different world in Europe. They had faced death and learned to enjoy the pleasures that each day offered. Many of these young soldiers were not willing to quietly accept the old traditions of their families and villages when they returned home. Instead, they wanted to try new ways of living.
Many young Americans, both men and women, began to challenge some of the traditions of their parents and grandparents. For example, some young women began to experiment with new kinds of clothes. They no longer wore dresses that hid the shape of their bodies. Instead, they wore thinner dresses that uncovered part of their legs. Many young women began to smoke cigarettes, too. Cigarette production in the United States more than doubled in the 10 years between 1918 and 1928. Many women also began to drink alcohol with men in public for the first time, and they listened together to a popular new kind of music, jazz. Young people danced the foxtrot, the Charleston, and other new dances. They held one another tightly on the dance floor, instead of dancing far apart.
It was a revolution in social values, at least among some Americans. People openly discussed subjects that their parents and grandparents had kept private. There were popular books and shows about unmarried mothers and about homosexuality. The growing film industry made films about all-night parties between unmarried men and women. And people discussed the new ideas about sex formed by Sigmund Freud and other new thinkers. An important force behind these changes was the growing independence of American women. In 1920, the nation passed the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, which gave women the right to vote. Of equal importance, many women took jobs during the war and continued working after the troops returned home. Also, new machines freed many of them from spending long hours of work in the home, washing clothes, preparing food, and doing other jobs.
Education was another important force behind the social changes of the 1920s. More and more Americans were getting a good education. The number of students attending high school doubled between 1920 and 1930. Many of the schools now offered new kinds of classes to prepare students for useful jobs. Attendance at colleges and universities also increased greatly, and colleges offered more classes in such useful subjects as teacher training, engineering, and business administration. Two inventions also helped cause the social changes. They were the automobile and the radio. The automobile gave millions of Americans the freedom to travel easily to new places. And the radio brought new ideas and experiences into their own homes. Probably the most important force behind social change was the continuing economic growth of the 1920s. Many people had extra money to spend on things other than food, housing, and other basic needs. They could experiment with new products and different ways of living.
Of course, not all Americans were wearing strange new flapper clothes or dancing until early in the morning. Millions of Americans in small towns or rural areas continued to live simple, quiet lives. Life was still hard for many people, including blacks, foreigners, and other minority groups. The many newspaper stories about independent women reporters and doctors also did not represent the real life of the average American woman. Women could vote, but 3 of every 4 women still worked at home. Most of the women working outside their homes were from minority groups or foreign countries. The films and radio stories about exciting parties and social events were just a dream for millions of Americans. But the dreams were strong, and many Americans, rich and poor, followed with great interest each new game, dance, and custom.
The wide interest in this kind of popular culture was unusually strong during the 1920s. People became extremely interested in exciting court trials, disasters, film actors, and other subjects. For example, millions of Americans followed the sad story of Floyd Collins, a young man who became trapped while exploring underground. Newsmen reported to the nation as rescue teams searched to find him. Even the New York Times newspaper printed a large story on its front page when rescuers finally discovered the man's dead body. Another event that caught public attention was a murder trial in the eastern state of New Jersey in 1926. Newsmen wrote 5 million words about this case of a minister found dead with a woman member of his church. Again, the case itself was of little importance from a world news point of view, but it was exciting, and Americans were tired of reading about serious political issues after the bloody World War.
The 1920s also were a golden period for sports. People across the country bought newspapers to read of the latest golf victory by champion Bobby Jones. Big Bill Tilden became the most famous player in tennis. And millions of Americans listened to the boxing match in 1926 between Jack Dempsey and Gene Tunney. In fact, 5 Americans reportedly became so excited while listening to the fight that they died of heart attacks. However, the greatest single sports hero of the period was the baseball player Babe Ruth. Ruth was a large man who could hit a baseball farther than any other human being. He became as famous for his wild enjoyment of life as for his excellent playing on the baseball field. Babe Ruth loved to drink, to be with women, and to play with children.
The most famous popular event of the 1920s was neither a court trial nor a sports game. It was the brave action of pilot Charles Lindbergh when he flew an airplane across the Atlantic Ocean without stopping. He was the first man in history to do this. Lindbergh flew his plane alone from New York to France in May 1927. His flight set off wild celebrations across the United States. Newspapers carried story after story about Lindbergh's success. President Coolidge and a large crowd greeted the young pilot when he returned to Washington. And New York congratulated Lindbergh with one of the largest parades in its history. Americans liked Lindbergh because he was brave, quiet, and handsome. He seemed to represent everything that was best about their country.
The 1920s were also a time of much excellent work in the more serious arts. We will take a look in our next program at American art, writing, and building during the exciting Roaring Twenties.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.